Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Last few weeks working on my home projects, do-it-yourself projects with Lowe's. Not only practical, but looks great. Go to Lowe's.com or show us your transformations with your do-it-yourself projects with hashtag Lowe's Goals. Jay Glazer is right around the corner, but first, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we'll talk to Jay about this in a second, but multiple NFL teams canceled their practices in response to the Jacob Blake shooting, and Pete Carroll spoke about the possibility of players taking a similar stand of those in the NBA and deciding not to take the field during the season.
Anything's possible. I mentioned to the players, this is the year, it's the protest season, you know. It's the season of protest, and so we'll handle ourselves as we do, and... But this is a protest that doesn't have an end to it until all the problems go away and we solve the issues and stuff. So we're going to do our part and continue to work to stay actively involved and continue to stay in touch with the situations that are going on by staying on the topics and with it, just in hopes that we can be there to help and support where we can and have influence where we can.
Matt LaFleur also spoke today, said, I don't know what our players have gone through. I'm a white guy that hasn't gone through certain situations. I'm going to do whatever I can in my power to support equal rights. The Packers were one of the teams that canceled practice today. I do think, especially reacting to Roger Goodell and his interview with Emmanuel Acho on Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man, he spoke about he's not going to punish players for kneeling and, you know, he's open to more conversations. I agree with you. The NFL is a completely different
power structure
and culture than the NBA, simply based off the fact that it's a different sport. There's less players. The contracts are different. The CBA is different. The money is different.
Yeah.
The value of one particular star versus a star in the NFL is not the same because of the amount of players on the court and the influence that they have on the organizations and season ticket sales. We go on and on. So you can't really draw perfect parallels to how...
Well, think about this, Joe. Think about the influence NBA players have in communities selling shoes.
Right.
They have influence in culture and fashion. I don't even know what shoe Tom Brady wears. I can tell you...
I think he endorsed Uggs for a while.
But I mean... NBA players simply have more influence in their communities than NFL players do.
Well, I think that the brands of, you know, certain players in certain communities can sometimes be bigger than the NBA, and just that the NFL is a bigger brand altogether and bigger sport. But as far as, you know, kneeling and protesting in these conversations, it's like what I said at the beginning of the show. We've been talking about this all year. This is a year of change. And if you're not a flexible person, this is not the year for you. It's going to be a long, long rest of 2020 and moving forward. Because everyone has a voice now. People all have a platform. They're complaining about people using their platform to speak on a platform, which make that make sense. But regardless, this is going to continue into the NFL season. Like, if you're thinking that this is just going to stop just because this is the culture of the NBA... It is not going to stop this year. This is an election year. There's a lot going on in the world. This is going to be a conversation.
We have a pandemic and the most polarizing political figure in my life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff coming.
So much more.
Yeah.
It's like Pete Carroll said, this conversation isn't going to be over until the problems are fixed. So just buckle in and get used to it. So after the Jets scrimmage on Wednesday, Adam Gase said Le'Veon Bell spent more time on the sidelines as a precaution due to hamstring tightness. Le'Veon did not agree with his coach's decision to keep him out. He tweeted, "Ain't nothing wrong with my hamstrings," followed by, "It's tough to stay loose when you do a bunch of standing around, and I'm used to going." Then in response to a fan who pointed out it was only practice, Le'Veon said, "Exactly, I practice for a game. I need to practice to be great in games."
You know, Le'Veon, I had him on a show one time. He gets bunched in with the Steelers.
Right.
Like, he gets bunched in with Big Ben, who can be dramatic, and A.B. I don't get the pushback on Le'Veon Bell. I think he's funny on social media. he's always said, it's a business. I play and practice. Like, I think he's gotten bunched in to some of the dysfunction with the Steelers. I think he's so pro football, so play. I want to play. All he ever says is, let me work harder and get more snaps.
And he's been great despite, you know, being involved in trade conversations.
He never has a problem with it. He's like, hey, it's a business.
You know, it just started, I think his rep maybe took a hit because of the exit from the Steelers and him wanting money.
Well, the whole thing with the Steelers was just a big circus
for a year. And, like, I thought he was in the best situation with the Steelers.
Yes, he was.
But it's his career, and he should do what he wants with it. To me, the bigger takeaway from this is, like, my God, Adam Gase, like, can you get on the same page with, like, one star, please?
They only got three.
I mean, it just, this should not be happening. Like, Le'Veon is, like you said, he's a hardworking guy.
He's a great player.
He's
a great receiver, not just a back.
I just don't understand the communication breakdown.
To me, I could get Jamal Adams was a little feisty. Le'Veon Bell.
Everybody can't be feisty, okay? Not that many feisty people.
Right. Le'Veon Bell's not feisty. Whenever there's a controversy, he's like, dude, I just want to play. Literally, he's been in trade rumors since he got to New York, and his response has always been, hey, man, it's a business. Do whatever. I'll go wherever you want me to play, which is the perfect response. Like, you tell me what you want, and I'll go.
I don't get it. Finally, LaMelo Ball has not been drafted yet, but he's already got his shoe deal lined up. LaMelo will reportedly be signing an endorsement deal with Puma. This would make him the first Ball brother not to sign with big baller brands. But bigger takeaway from this is he has not been drafted yet, and he already has a shoe deal. It's not surprising to me. I've kind of been on the LaMelo Ball hype train for a while since I saw him play at a JBA game out here in California where he was extremely raw but already had unbelievable skill and an it factor. He's played aside from the JBA, played in Lithuania in 2017 and then played in Australia in 2019.
His highlights here for our radio listeners, his highlights are really good.
I mean, this is the conversation that we were having about Luka, right? Luka played in Europe from 2015 to 2018. He started when he was 16 years old, same as Melo. Melo's 19 years old. And, you know, he won an MVP and, you know, was obviously excelled there, was EuroLeague all-decade team. But this is something. Like, the Melo has been playing against professional players for the last 2 years, 3 years. That's going to be a factor for him. The question with LaMelo is he going to play defense? And is he going? He's a scorer, but is he going to be able to shoot?
Yeah,
that's the development thing about where he's going to go. The star factor is already there.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is if he plays on a team with a rim protector and somebody gets past him, listen. Not like James Harden played a lot of D his first 7 years in the league. Like,
the defense thing is overblown anyway. There's lots of players in the league that we do not hold responsible for.
Even the great defensive players, LeBron, weren't great early, and are not great late.
And for rookies, like, if you're a great defensive player as a rookie, going against NBA players. Like,
yeah,
that's
Ben Simmons
staggering.
Is the exception.
Right. Like, you should not be expected to be a great defensive player going into the NBA your rookie season. But I really think whoever gets LaMelo is getting a star. I'm very high on him.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jay Glazer, owner of Unbreakable Performance Centers. Contributor to The Athletic, founder of MVP Merging Vets and Players, Fox Sports NFL Insider. Jay Glazer is joining us. He's been at the Cowboys and the Bucks camp. I saw this morning, Jay, we're seeing Colts, Green Bay Packers, Pete Carroll's talking about it. You know, you deal with NFL players all the time. You probably deal with some other pro athletes all the time. You know, Joy Taylor just said this is not going away. This is the new norm. When you talk to players, NFL players, their thoughts about some of these social injustices. Is it a topic a lot often with you?
Well, look, it's not going away because there's a problem, right? This isn't just people deciding to bring something up out of nowhere. There's a problem. There's a problem that's been going on and on and on. And look, you know, for people to say that athletes shouldn't have a voice, that's garbage. They should have a voice. These are human beings. They're complete human beings. These aren't just, hey, go out there and play for us. For anybody to get upset that they're using their platform to take a stand, why is it okay for other people to use their platform to take stands all over Twitter and different jobs? There's an issue here. There's a big problem, and good for them to speak up about it. Use you know, what you've been blessed with to make change when change is necessary.
Yeah, it's so funny how people on social media don't want athletes to have an opinion on politics, yet they have opinions on politics. It's amazing how that works.
Well, they have opinions on sports. Why can't people in sports then have opinions on somewhere else?
Thank you.
You know, the great thing, if you listen to a locker room, if the rest of the country was like a locker room, this country would be in a much better place. There's empathy for people in there, regardless of what your skin color is or what you believe. Guys could fight something out about different sides of politics, and then they're all there. They're making up. They love each other, and, you know, literally 0.2 seconds later. And if you're in a locker room, and you've been there, Colin, the different viewpoints that are expressed and the way they're delivered in locker rooms is they're incredibly smart melting pots. All coming together. I know it's coming together for a common goal, which is not white or black, but silver, which is the color of that ring. But they all, when they get together, man, locker rooms are hilarious. They're thought out. They're thought provoking. And the biggest thing is that people can have different opinions and not hate each other over it. Imagine that. How? Wow. What a great idea.
Yeah, it's amazing. LeBron James yesterday changed his opinion three times. At 8 o'clock, he wanted out. In the morning, he wanted to think about it. And then this morning, he's like, okay, I want to play. What's great about athletes in locker rooms is they listen. Like, they're willing to change. In a country where nobody changes their mind anymore, pro athletes, I mean, they come to you. Jay, make me better at this. Jay, connect me with this. Like, I find players so willing to listen. Because let's be honest, they want to be heard, but they want to be great. I mean, you, for a living, you literally deal with athletes who come to you, ask questions, listen, and do stuff. You're like a mentor to some of the guys. I mean, seriously, it's amazing.
I try. I mean, who would have thought growing up that I'd be a mentor to grown men? But yeah, it actually happens. Mom, how did I get here?
Yeah. So let's talk. You were at the Cowboy camp. A lot of talk about Earl Thomas. Mike McCarthy made it pretty clear. Chemistry is the key on this team because we like what we've got. I don't really buy into the Cowboys and Earl Thomas. I think Jerry sort of kept it alive. What do you hear?
I think Jerry's the only one. Look, anytime there's somebody like that out there, Jerry loves to, okay, do we swing for the fences? But you're right. The chemistry out there with the Cowboys, there's a different pace there this year. There's just a different attitude. It's just kind of, you know, it's grunt, grunt, grunt. These are a bunch of grunts now coming together. It was just different. It's different than what it's felt like in the past, no doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, you look at Earl Thomas and you have to say to yourself, and if the question is, at what price? So if Earl Thomas comes, you know, really cheap, do you go and you sign him? And look, if you think he's going to take away from your team chemistry, then there shouldn't be a price. It doesn't matter what that price is because it takes away from team chemistry. If you think, all right, this guy still has a lot in the tank and he can add to team chemistry, that's a different story, but that's not the story that we're talking about.
So you were at the Cowboy camp. Was the intensity, the energy, kind of give me a sense of what, because you go to it every year, what felt different about the Cowboy camp?
It was a lot more intense. That was without a doubt. It was intense. It was more, in the past, man, it was kind of, Cowboys practices have been fun in the past. This was Mike McCarthy coming in. Mike is a grunt. You know, when I say that, you couldn't have a bigger compliment for a football person than being a grunt. And I think the rest of the team starting to take that personality on. There's a lot of things that, you know, in Dallas, they've had good rosters in the past. And I do think, listen, I do think the Joneses as the GM have done a really good job over the last few years, but it's harder for people to see because the Cowboys as the show a lot of times overshadows that. But man, if you look at the roster this year and the roster last year, was probably the deepest roster in the NFL, and they came up very short. So you have to look at it and say, what were we missing here? And I just think that they need to kind of go back to how it was under Jimmy, just a grunt going in there and working these guys.
You were at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers camp as well. I've been at that a few times. So, I think it's going to work. I think Todd Bowles is the untold story of this camp. I think the defense is going to carry the offense through September. What's your takeaway? How was the vibe? How was the energy in Tampa?
Look, as much as we want to talk about Tom outside the Buccaneers, they were talking about Tom inside the Buccaneers and what he's been able to do with other people. And you know, you just saw Mike Evans on your screen there. I know Tom has worked with him. And Mike Evans is a guy phenomenal, and he's probably left some stuff on the table in the past. Now with Tom, I don't think you're going to see that. I know they're working together. O.J. Howard, which we thought that maybe they're going to look to trade him. they couldn't stop talking about O.J. Howard. Again, Tom working with O.J. Howard. And I think for Tom, he now is at a place where he feels heard. I think in New England, he didn't feel heard. Not that he wanted things my way, his way, whatever. I know with the Buccaneers, he feels heard. He goes in there, he makes suggestions. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. But, you know, Bruce Arians, oh, my God, Bruce absolutely loves Tom Brady. And he has been around the Peyton Mannings and the Ben Roethlisberger and the Andrew Lux and Bear Bryant. I mean, he's been around everybody. And, man, he could not stop gushing about Tom the other night.
So, you know, I think it's pretty remarkable. I've seen the numbers on the COVID testing, very few positives. And it's funny, Jay, there is, I've seen this in baseball, there's a peer pressure.
Yes.
And do you sense that where, like, guys are watching guys and making them accountable?
Yeah. The best thing that happened for football is the mess ups in baseball. And even this person leaving the, you know, the bubble in NBA to go to a strip club for wings. Yeah, you know, that's the best thing that happened to football because there was such outrage. And then they immediately came to camp and they talked to each other about putting that pressure on each other. You know, every person I've talked to going into this year said the same thing. Whoever's healthiest wins. And that's what they're all telling their team.
Wow. How about that? Yeah, and right? You know, it's funny. I saw Cleveland the other day has had a rough camp, Jay. They've had multiple injuries. You know, it's funny about no preseason. I've never been a fan of preseason, Jay. I've always thought it's a little bit of nonsense. College.
Hey, Colin, I'm sorry. When I said healthy, I didn't mean those injuries like the Browns are having. I meant the COVID.
Oh.
That's what they're telling their team. Whoever is healthiest there, that because listen, right now they're all in camp and they're in somewhat of a bubble together because all their time is taken up. But the fear is once training camp ends and you go into the season, every time one of these players goes home, there's 53 different stories that then walk into your locker room the next day.
Yeah.
And that's when the challenge starts. That's when they really have to police each other.
Yeah. The when you look at all these teams and you bounce around the league, no preseason. Is there a fear there could be injuries? I mean, you need to get whacked a few times in this league to build up that metal. How are teams combating that? Are they talking about that, Jay? No preseason, not as many hits. Then you go 0-60, boom, in 1 minute.
Sure. Yeah, that's like not being able to spar going into a fight. You need to get your body ready for it. But it's not the preseason games because the preseason games are more for those down the road players and, you know, who may stand out suddenly as a gunner on special teams or something along those lines. But more so, losing the whole offseason workout program, losing the OTAs, losing really all the training camp. That's what they're more concerned with. You're talking about going 0-60. You know, back in the day, people used training camp to get in shape. And, you know, last couple of decades, the NFL and teams made sure that wasn't the case anymore.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden this year, we've fallen back into that.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Jay, you look healthy. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. Continued success. And thanks for joining us on Late Notice today, buddy.
Appreciate
I really appreciate it.
Always. Absolutely. Love you guys.
All right. The Athletic, Fox Sports NFL Insider. Good to see Jay Glazer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Want to say thanks to Lowe's. Made it easy for me to tackle it at home. Do-it-yourself project. Get inspired. Do-it-yourself. Lowe's.com. You know, it's when you have stories and shows like today, the NBA players kind of had a what do you call a lockout or a boycott?
Strike.
A strike, right? That I always feel like I'm not an expert on this stuff and I probably shouldn't. I should listen a lot. So I try to bring on more guests. We had a really good morning meeting this morning with a lot of different voices, men and women sharing life experiences, you know, because I just think I'm, you know, like many of you, I'm curious. I'm interested in other people's perspective. The one thing that I get, I just to make it personal, the one thing I get frustrated with, how do I say this, white people. This is what I get frustrated with. Every single athlete, every single one that I've ever asked about this one thing has given me the exact same answer. And they didn't talk to each other. Every time I ask a black athlete, did your parents ever talk to you about the police? Every single athlete. Separately, they don't have like a marketing campaign. Tell Colin this. So everyone says the exact same thing. Yeah, my parents told me I'd be treated differently and be very, very careful and say yes, sir, and no, sir. My parents didn't, we didn't have that conversation. So get that part of this. Like, if you're curious, you want to learn, ask that question. I've been doing this 30 years. I've asked that question. I asked it today to Tristan Thompson.
Yep.
I've asked it 100 times. I've asked Ray Lewis. I've asked Michael Vick. I've asked Greg Jennings. I've asked every single athlete. They've all given me the exact same answer. Some gave it to me when I worked at the other place. Some here, some home, some phone, some text, some live on the air. Those are conversations we didn't have with our parents. My mom told me to be nice and be say please and thank you to my teachers. I left the house. My mom never had to worry about that. In the black community, mothers lay awake, sons late, daughters late, thinking things my parents never had to. Like, get that. It's a real thing. So when you see grown men, big, powerful athletes, get emotional, this is the world. Nobody's saying that it's hostile every second of every day. That's not what they're saying. They're just saying, man, it's different for us. Like Greg Jennings came on the show once and literally, and Greg's big. Like, Greg is still ripped. He's like ripped. He got emotional. He's like, I get scared now. If I get scared now. What? Greg Jennings on television, a nice, smart guy, dad. I don't get scared when I get pulled over. I don't even think about that. It's just like, brother, I was going 4 miles over. Let's get this thing done. Let's wrap it up. Let me get back on my way. So that's all I ask. And I'm not asking much. I'm just saying they're telling us this. So let's just listen. It's not hard. This just keep saying the same thing over and over. It's a real thing in their community. Chris Broussard on earlier today. He talked about the reaction when the games were yesterday initially postponed.
I've never been more proud of black athletes in my life. I've always felt that they should use their power and their platform to work on behalf of the masses of African-American people. And I thought last night was a step in that direction. And I say that about athletes because I feel like black athletes are the most beloved, most well-connected to corporate America. That gives them a leverage that other black people do not have. And so I want them to use that on behalf of the masses of our people for equality and justice. And I thought they did that yesterday.
Yeah. I never, ever have, when I ask black athletes privately or personally, they don't complain about stuff. They know they've been afforded some great opportunities. They have good lives. It's not that. They have this thing with law enforcement. This thing that they live with and their parents live with and everybody live with. That's why this stuff matters. That's why when the videos come out again and again and again and again, it reminds them it's scary, it's fearful. I don't live with that. Never. Never had that conversation. Ever. Ever. And my mom talked a lot. We talked about a lot of stuff. We never once talked about that. Just be acknowledge people that are in our country, we work with, they're dealing with something that scares the hell out of them. It's a real thing. You have personal experiences with this because you and your family, your brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just a conversation that you have. My nephew's driving now, and like you have to have that conversation with him of what to do when you're pulled over. And it's just a part of
your existence. A part of Black America's reality.
Right. And to your point, what do they always say? Like, what's the first step in solving a problem? You have to acknowledge there's a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
The reason why emotions with this conversation can escalate to the point of hostility where no one's listening so quickly is in any relationship that you have, if you feel unheard, you're going to what? Raise your voice. You're going to get more emotional. You're going to get upset. You're going to get angry because you're saying something over and over again. If you're having a conversation with your wife and she's not hearing you, right? You're going to get what? frustrated.
Right.
And that's where everyone is. If you can just get to step one, where everyone acknowledges that this is a problem, and we're not there yet. Like, we're not.
Right.
We are not at the place where everyone has agreed this is a problem. There are people arguing all day long, well, this and his record, and why did he do this, and why did this happen, and it doesn't happen this, and these numbers. It's like, you can't, how many decades has this conversation been going on for? It's obviously a problem.
I mean, just think, to get... most athletes are alpha males. I mean, you have to be. Like,
right.
It's hard to be a pro athlete. Like, you had coaches yell at you. You've worked your butt off. These are men. These are big men. We're around pro athletes all the time.
Right.
Like, your brother is not built like my mailman. They're big. They're strong.
6'6", 240.
And generally, athletes are tough emotionally. They're physical. They've been coached. They've been pushed by their trainers, by their coaches. And then they break down and cry.
Well, also, you know,
on this subject,
you're seeing,
over and over and over and over and over again, figure it out.
You're seeing people that look like you being murdered, right? So
yeah.
It's not just the fear that this could happen to you. It's that there's a psychological process. I don't like watching these videos. I've seen them for years. I don't want to see someone die. I don't want to see a man have a knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I don't want to see someone get shot seven times. This is not a video game. This is not a movie. This is real life. These are human beings. If you can't get to that point, it's very hard for me to have a conversation past that. Like, you have to get to the point where you recognize that this is wrong before we move to the next step. So it's all about having conversations with each other, and people need to be more open, like you said, to having conversations.
And by the way, NBA players showed how open they were. Think about this. In the last, how many hours? What are we at now? What time is it right now?
We're not at 24 hours yet.
It's about 18 hours.
Yeah.
NBA players went from, we're not playing, let me think about it, okay, we'll play. So the critics of NBA players, you're not willing to listen to anybody. NBA players are willing to listen to reasonable discussions on, you're mad, but let's play the games for the platform and long-term for more financial leverage. So before you lecture people in life about you need to listen to me, the NBA players literally listened, cried, yelled, screamed, changed their opinion three different times over the last like 18 hours. And we're going to have basketball. And I think it's the right decision. But it took a while to get there. It took a lot of listening and learning to get there. The Herd.